This is 1A. I'm Joshua Johnson in Washington. Last month, President Trump called the CEO of the pharmaceutical company Merck a, quote, business genius. Yesterday, he called Kenneth Frazier a ripoff drug exec. That was after Frazier quit the president's manufacturing council over Mr. Trump's tepid response to what took place in Charlottesville last weekend. The CEOs of Intel and Under Armour also quit. The head of Boeing tells Fox Business he will remain. Many say the Trump administration has been good for business, but the president's controversies around social issues have complicated things for some corporate leaders. Former Treasury Secretary Larry Summers wrote in today's Washington Post, quote, "If you won't quit Trump's advisory councils now, then when?" Unquote. Let's discuss it with Justin Sink, a White House reporter for Bloomberg News. Justin, welcome to 1A.
Thanks for having me.
First of all, what is this Business Advisory Council? What does it do?
So it's sort of an informal group of CEOs and business leaders that the White House has convened only a couple times in the president's first six-plus months in office. And, you know, it's a group that isn't providing concrete advice or recommendations. It's more a sounding board for the administration and top administration officials and the president to talk about his agenda going forward and to sort of get their ideas for regulatory changes they could make or legislation that they could pursue. But, you know, it's not a dedicated working group that is meeting, you know, every week or regularly and sort of doing work on behalf of the administration. It's more just kind of bringing business leaders in with the hope that they either have good ideas for the White House or they can amplify some of the messaging that the White House is trying to get out about their agenda.
Are all the members of this council CEOs?
Most of them are, but again, even describing them as members is a little tricky. There was kind of a group of, I think, about 30 people who were invited to the first of the meetings, and the White House said even then that this is going to be kind of a rotating cast of characters. And so, you know, I think a lot of these CEOs are working to now sever their ties and say that they're no longer going to participate in this. But it's not kind of, you know, there were no membership cards handed out. It's more whichever business leaders the White House can kind of bring in at a given time, especially if they want to focus on a given issue.
We're speaking to Bloomberg News White House reporter Justin Sink about the people, can't quite call them members, on the president's manufacturing council who are dropping out or perhaps staying on in light of the president's comments about the violence in Charlottesville. We're only going to discuss this for this segment of the program before we move on. So we welcome your questions and thoughts right away. Email us 1A at WAMU.org, comment on our Facebook page, or tweet us at 1A. Justin Sink, as we mentioned, Kenneth Frazier, the CEO of Merck, dropped out of the council, as did Kevin Plank, the CEO, founder, and chairman of Under Armour, as well as Brian Krzanich, the CEO of Intel. What were the reasons they gave for leaving exactly? How did they put their rationale for walking away?
Sure. You know, Kenneth Frazier, who is the Merck CEO, I think was the most explicit about it, saying that he was acting on a matter of conscience. But none of the CEOs kind of explicitly made the connection that I think is pretty obvious, which is that there was sort of a general dismay in the aftermath of the president not immediately condemning some of the hate groups that were marching down in Charlottesville, Virginia, and particularly after the violence that occurred. That said, each of these CEOs also has sort of a unique story or reason why they might have decided to sever ties with the White House right now. Frazier is one of the most prominent black chief executive officers in the country and has certainly spoken out on issues like this before. Kevin Plank at Under Armour has, you know, embraced the president earlier in the year, and it caused a real rift for him. Some of the Under Armour's top athletes, including Steph Curry, came out, criticized his decision to embrace Donald Trump. And
Stephen Curry of the Golden State Warriors.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, Under Armour is really trying to establish itself like Nike, like Adidas, as kind of a lifestyle brand, their stock has been struggling because they've been struggling to do that. And so this Donald Trump controversy, particularly, you know, as athletes came out and condemned the president, has created sort of an issue for Kevin Plank and for Under Armour. Similarly, Intel, a lot of Silicon Valley firms have severed ties or refused to sort of join these efforts with the president's council, and they are recruiting from a workforce, particularly in Silicon Valley, that all indications are not supportive of Donald Trump, and so that's kind of a concern that they have to think about.
Yeah, and certainly, you know, Intel is not an insignificant player in Silicon Valley. It's a gigantic company with more than 100, I think it's more than 100,000 employees around the world. So Brian Krzanich walking away is certainly significant. You mentioned Under Armour stock. I just searched the stock prices. You know, January 30th, their stock closed around $29. The next day, their stock closed at like $21. It dropped very fast, and it really hasn't recovered since. I wonder, though, about the real-world impact of this. Is Under Armour kind of an outlier? Have any other companies been burned through their association with President Trump?
It doesn't seem like they're, you know, the Under Armour is a particular outlier, and I think it was kind of a, you know, this happened at a time where Under Armour was trying to transition as a company from something that made, you know, very specific workout apparel to a larger brand. And their struggles are not simply sort of the controversy over Donald Trump, but things like Steph Curry or the Golden State Warriors shoes not selling well, or just being unable to kind of capture the fashion zeitgeist. But these are all sort of interrelated issues. That said, you know, we're talking, I think, specifically about this business group, but other CEOs we've also seen kind of depart based on different issues throughout the administration. So after the president decided to pull out of the Paris Climate Agreement, Elon Musk of Tesla said that he was no longer going to serve as an advisor. Almost immediately after the president took office, he moved to implement the travel ban. There was kind of a big controversy because Uber drivers were going to the airports and picking up customers that had, you know, cabs had been blocked by the protesters. So that kind of created a controversy for Uber, which has had many other controversies that have sort of rocked their stock. But that led the then CEO to also kind of sever ties with the White House.
Yeah, I recall a lot of people said, at least, that they dropped Uber for Lyft or other ride services companies, primarily Lyft, after I believe it was at Newark International Airport. So clearly the pressure from consumers is having an effect. One of our listeners, a tweeter called Dr. America, by the way, Dr. America, I love your Twitter picture. It's kind of like Captain America with a stethoscope. That's pretty slick. Dr. America writes, kind of wish these CEOs did their thinking in 2016 or earlier. Feels like they put profits and access to power before principles until now. Has President Trump responded much about these CEOs? We heard about his response to Mr. Fraser, but is that all that the president has said so far?
Yeah, you know, when some of these earlier, Elon Musk leaving after Paris was obviously a kind of big headline, and White House officials got a lot of questions about that. And their sort of response at the time was, well, we think we can find other CEOs who are interested in working with us. And so they've been generally dismissive, as the president was when Mark pulled out. And so, you know, I think the White House is trying to take this in stride and probably realize that there's not a lot to be gained by picking fights with corporate leaders. But, you know, I think obviously if this continues to be a trend, it is going to become more and more of something that the White House and the president need to address. And a concern for a president who really fashions himself as a CEO and a business leader and is becoming abandoned by some of the corporate titans who he really respects and admires.
A few more quick questions before we run out of time. Put this in a little bit of context for us. Business leaders are not fleeing President Trump, are they? They're still pretty bullish on his strategy for at least their bottom lines, right?
Yeah, I mean, you know, the stock market has been extremely strong over the last few months. But I think what the question is, you know, we are now entering a period where particularly corporate tax reform is a priority that the president has said that he's going to get, assured many of these CEOs who have come in and met with him that his administration is going to accomplish. But, you know, it's now the time where the rubber meets the road. We saw with healthcare, which was something else that the president really wanted to accomplish, that they were unable to get that past the finish line. And I think corporate leaders still remain, I think, generally warm towards this White House, but are going to start expressing more concern. You will see a real sort of issue if it seems like the effort to reform both personal and corporate taxes is in danger.
And one more very quick question. Yuki in Santa Fe asks, how many of Trump's business council are women or people of color?
I would have to go look at the list. Obviously, I think Fraser from Merck it's a black man and one of the few that is on the council. I do think that there are a few women, but I don't know the numbers right
off the top. Okay. Well, maybe we'll look that up and we'll share that on our social media presences. That is a good question, though. Justin Sink, White House reporter for Bloomberg News. Justin, thanks for talking to us.
Thanks.
Coming up, we will shift gears and talk about sex, race, and music. NPR music critic Ann Powers will join us to talk about how those three things intersect in her new historical book, Good Booty. I'm Joshua Johnson. Glad to be with you. You're listening to 1A from WAMU and NPR.